This is week 7, lesson 6 in our study book, page 23. This is the last lesson in the 3 lessons we've had thus far. Last week and week before on personal evangelism, and this morning we'll be on conducting a home Bible study, some different thoughts about that, and maybe some different approaches, and talk about the importance of doing that. In the New Testament, where do you read about the first converts to Christianity?
Acts 2,
that's right. The Bible says that nearly how many obeyed the gospel on that occasion?
3,000.
That's a lot of people. They obeyed the gospel after the hearing of one gospel sermon. And as you read from Acts 2 forward, you start seeing that the church experienced rapid growth, just like the Lord taught in Matthew 13 about the parable of mustard seed, how it was the smallest, yet it was planted and it brought forth, or it sprang up, became the greatest of herbs and so forth, and the fowls there came and lodged in the branches of it. So throughout the book of Acts, you read that the church had a lot of growth. 5,000 at one point is mentioned all the way through, that the number began to multiply. In Acts 5:42, after an account of some persecution that took place, the Bible says, daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to preach and teach Jesus Christ. In that verse, where did it say that the teaching and the preaching took place? House to house, right? And the temple. How often did that take place?
Daily.
I don't know about you, but I know certainly going through several of these lessons, I've stepped on my toes more than one time. Because I think about that thought and how they were so much engaged and focused on the task at hand. Now, a lot of times we get busy doing a lot of things that are important. It's not to say that other aspects, as far as visiting and edifying and so forth, is not important. Those things are important, and we're commanded to do that as individuals. But sometimes we get so caught up on those things that we neglect the evangelism part, do we not? I'm safe in saying that a lot of the reason that has hindered the growth of the Lord's body today is a failure on our part many times to focus on evangelism. How else is a church going to grow if we don't get busy teaching at every opportunity we have? But I also want to balance that by saying that we know that not every prospect or every chance that we get to invite someone to a home study is going to turn out that way. You're going to hear no many times. You're going to have many individuals who, when you say, well, will you sit down and study the Bible with me? Are you interested in that? They're not interested for one reason or another. Maybe they think that they're okay where they're at. They feel comfortable where they're at. They feel like they don't need to study the Bible. Or one reason or another that many people give you. I'll give you an example of that. This past week, I called a facility and talked with an individual about coming out to do some Bible classes, and his response was, well, we're just kind of booked up. We don't have any more room. Well, the point is that not every road that you go down to try to teach someone or to sow the seed of the kingdom is going to result in that being done. You're going to hear no, and I'm going to hear no. But we still got to be busy about chasing those opportunities and trying to take advantage of them. There's a lot of different things that could be said about a home Bible study. It's something that I enjoy. I hope that you do too, to sit down with someone at their table or wherever the case may be, in their home or at their workplace, wherever the opportunity arises, to talk to them about the Bible. And I've just simply put forth these points, and we'll talk about some approaches before the lesson is over. Maybe at the end of the study you may say, preacher, I can't use that stuff. Well, you don't have to use it. But it's just some suggestions to hopefully help us in teaching others. The first one that I put in your booklet is that we've got to be flexible when it comes to setting up a home study. I say that, and it should go without even saying that. If we're going to have a home study, we're going to have to at least make the offer. Right? That's our starting point. We're going to have to offer that to somebody. So let me hear from you. How do you approach someone? Say you have an opportunity to have a conversation with someone about the Bible. What is your number one priority with that person? What's the number one you think about when you're talking to them? What's the purpose?
I think it depends on what congregation that he belongs to would be more valuable than anything.
Yes, and that's great. We'll talk about that, Nathan. What is our goal for even talking to them about the Bible?
Obey the gospel.
Yeah, because you want to do what you can to convert them, right? Now, granted, a lot of people you talk to think they don't want the home study. They don't want you to talk to them because I'm already converted in their mind. Now, I don't say that negatively, but I'm just saying that's the reality. In the mind of a lot of individuals, they are already a convert. But understand that what they think is a convert and what they think that an individual does in order to be converted to Christ may not be in line with what you're thinking an individual has to do in order to become a Christian. What do we base that on? I'll get to you, Glenn. What do we base that on? What leads to conversion? Opinion?
No, the Bible.
Yeah, the Bible. We know after we study that, and hopefully we already have, of what individuals must do in order to become a Christian. That's never going to change. What makes you a Christian is the same thing that makes me a Christian. And we find that according to the Word of God, right? The New Testament.
Acts 2:38.
Yeah, that's right. In answer to that question, what shall we do? What's going to say, Glenn?
I was going to say that basically listening, that's one of the main things, is listening to where they're at and what they believe is a converted.
That's right. That's right. And we're going to talk about that in point two. But we've got to be flexible. Not everyone has the schedule that you have. Not everyone has the same schedule that I have. You know, if I went out during the day to do door knocking, may I have opportunity around 11, 12, 1 o'clock to go out and do door knocking? Guess what's going to happen? What would happen should you go out around noon to go out and do some door knocking?
Nobody home.
Most of the time, nobody's going to be there. People work. Many people work. They're busy about maybe on their lunch break or something. Their schedule does not line up with ours. And that's important when we're talking about conducting a home study. Because we're the ones that have to be flexible. When can they study? And so you enter into a conversation with somebody. You're sitting there talking about the Bible. How do you get that study set up? What would you say? You're talking to me and you want to study the Bible with me? What are you going to say?
Is there a time that's good for you?
Yeah. Is there a time that's good for you? And I like that. A time good for you. Now I'll see if it'll fit my schedule. We better be flexible with that. Suppose someone says, you know what, there is a pretty good time that's good for me, but I work late hours and I'm telling you, about the only time that I could study is about 11, 12 o'clock at night, and I'm sure you can't do that. What would you say to that? Yeah, schedule it. That'd be good. That'd be fine. We'll study with you. 11, 12 o'clock's okay. We might go sleep yet. But take advantage of that and be flexible with them. So be flexible on the time. I'd like to study the Bible with you. Are you interested in that? A lot of times somebody's going to say no. Or they may say, I'm interested in that, but not right now. If you get the idea from someone that they're not interested now, but there may be the slightest chance that they're interested later, get their contact information and follow up with them. I talked with you about a month ago, and you were busy at the time, and we're not able to do a home study, but just want to touch base with you now and see if you're able to have that study. Follow up with them and make sure that you get some good contact information. Now, if somebody slams the door in your face, and you didn't get their name, no, well, they're probably not going to be interested a month from then. But try to get some contact information for them so you can follow up with them. What else? How else could you lead into asking them for a Bible study? Any thoughts? What have you used in the past?
It depends on how the approach is made. If they have questions concerning a particular subject, then you can always set up a time to meet with them and then finding out where they're at, what, and going from there.
Okay. So again, being flexible, and that is, we'll talk about that even more on what they know in the next point. But be flexible on the day. Now, we've got responsibilities as well. And if someone says, hey, I'll study the Bible with you, but will you come out to my house at 10:50 on Sunday morning? Well, so I can't do that, but let's schedule another time. I mean, we're turning down the study, but we've got other responsibilities as well. So the day and the time, we've got to be flexible on that. Take the opportunity. If they're willing to study, let them pick the day and the time. If you can do that, then do it. If you can't, be upfront and honest and say, I can't because of other obligations or other commitments that I've made, but what would be another good day and time? I think I shared with you before about a good friend of mine who's approaching, works for him. I don't recall ever a time, and I've tried it, that it ever worked for me, so maybe I just don't sound like he does when he says it. But he just asked the individual, hey, will Saturday morning be fine for you? What about 10 o'clock? And he just really points them down, pins them down on that, and it's turned out well for him. He engages in that study, and it's led to the conversion of those people that he studies. So there's not just one way that's going to work for everybody. You can't use one cookie-cutter approach and expect that everybody is going to obey or accept a study from that one approach. You're talking about different people with different personalities, different beliefs, different places in their study, and so forth. But we've got to be flexible. Here's another thing we've got to be flexible in. The place. We talk about a home study, but guess what? Not everybody wants you in their house. Not everybody's comfortable with that. You're a man. If I'm going to study with someone and it's a female, no, I'm not going to go to her house by myself and study. Now, if she's okay with having a study in her home, they take my wife with me, or we'll study at a public place or something. But don't do anything, men and women both, that would cause your conduct to be called into question. Be careful about that. Not everybody's honest. And so we wish they were, but not everybody's honest. Be flexible about the place. But if they say, hey, I'll study the Bible with you, but my home, I don't feel comfortable with that, that's okay. After all, they don't know much about you. You don't know much about them. But if they want to get together at McDonald's or at the park or at some place, then be flexible and say about that study. The point is that our goal is to convert people. And we're not going to convert people if we're not talking to people about it. Is that not the case? So be flexible. That's one of your questions, by the way, on the next page. Point number, anybody have any questions about that or comments about being flexible in your study with people? Time, date, place. We may have to sort out our priorities. And if we've scheduled things, we may have to let something go. If someone wants to study with us, and no doubt you've done that, and I've done that too. I've had something maybe perhaps that I really wanted to go do and planned for it for a while, but if somebody wants to study the Bible, then I'll drop that and go study with them if it's something that I can drop. Any questions about that?
How many times do you get questions to teach Bible class a week? How many times?
To teach Bible?
To other people, like you're talking about today, your neighbor.
Well, sometimes people will let you come and study the Bible with them. I'll give you an example. Last year I studied the Bible with one family for 6 months every week.
Yeah.
Sometimes people will let you study the Bible with them on an ongoing basis.
Yeah.
And then some people will give you 5 minutes and that's it. Yeah. We've got to make the most use of our time. Most of the time. The reality is that most of the time when you talk to someone, they're going to say no. Yeah. For whatever the reason. I'm not saying that they give you a bad reason every time. But the culture in which we live in is just that people are fast-paced. They think they don't have time. They'll get their information, but they don't want it from you. A lot of people are that way. In other parts of the world, I shared with you the work that Keith Greer is doing. He posted again. He's been there for 2 weeks and he's baptized 145 people. Well, it's a completely different culture. The people are poverty stricken. They think they have nothing to look forward to in this life. You know, they're thinking. So you talk about spiritual things and heavenly things. They want that. They long for that. We're, generally speaking, in this culture, we're so self-centered and so materialistic that we don't want to part with our goods to talk about spiritual things. That's sad, but you'll run into that. If I'm out visiting Nathan and somebody's got visitors or they talk to me about so-and-so might be interested, I'll take them up on that and ask them if they'll come to service or do a home study.
Well, I've asked a lot of people that I go visit that's sick and I ask them if they want you to come and teach Bible class with them or talk to them about the Bible. They said no. The way I spread the word is like you go to the grocery store, you may run into somebody there that you need to talk to, or going to the post office, you're always seeing somebody there. And you can invite them over to church. They always ask you, where do you go to church at? Out there, the old ministry.
That's good. That's good. Take an opportunity advantage of the opportunities you had. Number two, know the prospect's background. Sorry, Ben. Mention, there's an interesting statement that the prophet Ezekiel made in Ezekiel 3:15. When the Bible opens up in that book and says that he was among the captives. In chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says that he sat where they sat. And he made an observation. Sometimes we need to sit where people are at. We need to meet them where they are. Not everybody believes in God. And again, as we talked last week and the week before, if they don't believe in God, how are you going to convince them from this book that we say is from God when they don't believe that there is a God? Or they may believe that there's a God, but they don't believe that it's the God of this book. So if we meet someone who does not believe in God, then that's a good starting place. In fact, it's the starting place. It's to study with them about the existence of God. If we say, well, I'm just not qualified to do that. Well, acknowledge that and understand that and prepare yourself about it. There's a lot of things on the existence of God, questions that I can't answer. And that's okay, but I can study about it. I can study until I do get prepared. So suppose you meet with someone and they say, I'll study the Bible with you and I believe in God. And I'm willing for you to talk with me about the Bible. But I don't believe that the Bible is really the Word of God. Where might you want to start?
You would start with why they feel that way and what they're using to support their thought.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, somewhere to go and work with.
Yeah, that's right. Well, why do you not believe that it's the Word of God? You know, when I've talked to people, the number one reason that they've told me why they do not believe the Bible is trustworthy is because they say, well, it's been translated and translated and translated and translated. How can we possibly believe that it's the same word that was delivered way back when? Now, granted, that's not the truth. I mean, that's not how the Bible came to us from translation over and over and over and over. But in the mind of a lot of people, they think, well, we have it in English, and that's a result of you just giving the word to someone else and then they pass it along, and how can that possibly be trustworthy? So, again, be flexible and know their background. If they say, I believe in God, I believe that the Bible is the Word of God, I believe that Jesus died for our sins, you've got a whole lot you can work with that individual. They believe in God, they believe that the Bible is His Word, they believe that Jesus died for the sins of the world. But maybe they've never obeyed anything. Maybe they don't know what to obey. Maybe they have obeyed something, but it's not what this book teaches. Think you might run into that today? who will say, yes, I'm a Christian. How do you know you're a Christian? What'd you do to become a Christian? You're going to get all kinds of answers to that. So that opens up a lot of different ways in which we can study with someone. What are your thoughts on that? What do you do? Relative to, point to, know the prospect's background.
Most often, what we do is we, a lot of times, go in and not being considerate of their views and thoughts first. We go in with our thoughts and this is how it is because this is the truth. And what they believe, they honestly believe. And so we have to take that into consideration and then work with that belief to show them the fallacy of it according to Scripture. But a lot of times we just don't take the patience with them to know where they're at and to be understanding that, you know, that they believe that way.
So the people we study with strongly believe, they believe just as much of what they do to be the truth as we believe what we do to be the truth. Many people have not heard the gospel plan of salvation. Many people have not heard about the Lord's church, the Lord's kingdom. Not heard those things. Or maybe what they have heard is not what the Bible teaches. So we do have to exercise some patience and understanding. Someone says, well, I don't believe that a person has to confess their faith in order to become a Christian. Why don't you believe that? And let's look at the Scriptures where the Bible teaches that we do have to confess our faith in Christ in order to become a Christian. There's all kinds of ways to start. Be observant. Be considerate. Unless you're going to have to find out how long they're going to give you to study with them. Again, they may give you 5 minutes. They may give you one study. They may let you study every week for a long time. But you need to know that so you can plan your study with him accordingly. Know what you're going to study and how long it's going to take you to move through it. Don't be overly rigid in it. Keep it on track. Don't let people sidetrack you. Because many times they will. When you talk about the church and you ask them a question relative to the church or anything else, and it's a question that they cannot answer, typically what do people do? What do you think about Revelation 20? Or you talk about the Lord's Supper and you say, well, how often are we to observe that according to the New Testament?
First day of the
week. And we know that, but we're asking him the question. What do you think about some?
I'll be more glad to study with you on that next week. And then you give yourself an opportunity. If they say yes, you've got another week to study.
So listen, don't subject talk with people. You're not going to accomplish anything by doing that, or at least I'm not. If you go and you want to study authority with them, then that's what you need to study with them. If that's what you've studied and you know that topic, then stick with that topic. If they ask you a question, just like Larry mentioned, tell them that's a good question. You'd be happy to study that. Write it down and get back to it. But stay on task, because when people either can't answer the question or they get frustrated because now they're beginning to see that, hey, what I believed is really not what the Bible was teaching, then the tendency is to avoid that and go to some other scripture or some other topic. So make sure that you hold them to that topic. You don't have to be mean and you don't have to be hateful or whatever, but be kind, gentle, but keep on track with them. Don't subject talk. The next one is probably the most important aspect that will break or make a home study, and that's knowing your material. Point 3. Whatever you study with him, you've got to know it. If you don't know it, I'll put it this way, if I don't know it, I have no business teaching that to them or trying to. If I don't know it myself, remember we studied that in the first lesson? We got to know, the knowing comes before the doing or the teaching, Acts 1, Ezra 7:10, and some other passages we looked at. So we've got to know the material that we're using. Let me ask you this. You can raise your hand if you want to or not, but How many here this morning does a study with someone and you know ahead of time and you've got the material prepared on what you're using? You know ahead of time. Right now, someone said, I will study the Bible with you. You know right off exactly what you're going to study with him or the material that you'll be using. Now, again, be flexible as far as if they believe in God or don't, where we need to start. But suppose they're wanting you to come out and study with them. How prepared are we to do that? We've got to do that if we're going to study with someone. Say we've obeyed the gospel and we've put the Lord on in baptism. We know we have to hear, believe, repent, confess, be baptized in order to be a Christian. We need to be able to teach that to someone. Not just say, well, here, this is what you have to do. Because somebody's going to say, well, put your finger on it. Show me in the Bible where it says that baptism saves. You know, you talk to a lot of people and they say baptism doesn't save. Show me in the Bible where it says that it does. What are you going to do? If you're not prepared, you're not going to be able to answer that. That'll break a home study if we're not careful with that. Don't study with someone what you don't know. And it's okay if they ask you a question to say, well, I don't know about that. Not sure, but I'll study that and we'll talk about it. Be honest with them. But know your material. You don't have to write your own material. The material we need to use is already in print, by the way. You have a copy of the best material for a home study, the Bible. But there's a lot of things that we can have that available to us that will help us. I'll share some of those with you. Several of you guys come over to the house one Saturday and we talked about doing a home study. Remember that? I gave you that sheet and talked about if you only had one chance with someone to study the Bible, here's just some good material to use with them. Hopefully you held on to that. But there's a lot of different things. Remember when I talked to you last week about the individual that uses that little study with people and he said about 95% success rate he's had with converted people if he can get them to the table? This is the material he uses. 10 lessons or so. Or actually, 8. I thought it was 10, but anyway, it talks about are the 10 commandments abolished today? Talks about the Lord's church. Authority. And he just sits down with them and it's yes or no questions, true or false. And he goes right down it with them. Read the text together. He says it's true or false. First one, can anyone have eternal life without believing in Jesus? Yes or no?
No.
You see, most people you study that with is going to say no. But anyway, you just go through that. He said about 95% of the time, if he can get people to agree to this study, he ends up baptizing them into Christ. That's pretty good. So that's good. Find you a correspondence course. We have some upstairs in the back here. The 8 lessons, the Hurt, might be 7 or 8, the Hurt Home Bible Study or correspondence course. Use that to teach people if you can. Point is, know your material. If you use this, make sure you know it like the back of your hand so you don't trip and fall all over yourself during the study. Right? Some people want to use some sheets like this, and I can share these with you. If you let me know that you want them, I'll make you a copy of them. This one here. You remember one night I did that as an invitation. Know what you need to do. That's a whole lesson you could teach someone in one setting. Give them a copy of that. It talks about Jesus dying for the sins of the world. It talks about that salvation is conditional, that we've got to do our part. How we do that, how we accomplish that, how we become a Christian. And where we're going once we've obeyed the gospel if we're faithful. That's a study you could do with someone. You could spread that out over several weeks or just one study. Here's another good one. God hath spoken. That's a good one. It talks about every period of the Bible history as far as the different ages, the patriarchal, Mosaic, and Christian age. And the fact that God speaks to us today by His Son revealed through the Bible. That's a study. You could give them a sheet up. They got all the references before. You can do a home study with that. Or you could write your own stuff. How does one obey the gospel? Write that down and study that with them. But the point is, no matter what material you use, you got to what? You got to study. You have to know it. You have to know it. Another one that I do, and this one that I do, if somebody at least give me 4 weeks, it's my favorite one. I like it really well, but I know this one pretty well, And it's just four lessons on a home Bible study. The fellow that wrote this is one that I shared with you that during 1 year of using this material, he converted 46 people that obeyed the gospel using this same material. Just four lessons. First one's on authority, then it talks about the church, then it talks about becoming a Christian, and then it talks about the worship of the church. Just four lessons. Somebody said, I'll give you 4 weeks. One hour a week. That's fine. That's a month of study. But you can share that with them. Anyway, he gave me permission to copy that, so if you want a copy of it, let me know and I'd be happy to do it. But again, you've got to know whatever method it is that you use, you've got to know it. How many of you go out and visit people? Next week, by the way, we're talking about visiting. How many go and visit people, whether it's door knocking, visiting the city, going out, or whatever it may be? We've got a gospel meeting coming up next week. I'll make plans to door knock and hand out some flyers for that meeting. Are you going to ask people for a home study for that? Let me give you a suggestion. We'll try to get to some of the questions. But pick you a folder, whether it's a folder like this or a little two-pocket folder that kids take to school with them, and get everything ready in that folder that you want to use for a home study. Or to hand out card, whatever it is. This is a folder that I take with me. If I go and do a home visit, visiting the members, or I'll do door knocking, I take this folder with me. Some cards. We'll give you these cards, by the way, that you can hand to somebody. Place some tracts in there. I've got copies of this in case they say, yeah, preacher, I'll study the Bible with you. You've got that ready. You can hand it to them and say, I'll see you next week for our study. And they can be studying that first lesson. I have you a folder prepared. You're prepared to do that. You're workers in the kingdom of the Lord, right? We've got to be prepared. And pray that God will bless us with good soil to plant that good seed of the kingdom. In the hopes that people will obey the gospel and have to be their home. Let's go through the questions, even though we didn't get completely through the lesson. And then next week we'll talk about visiting. So know your material, then stay on track, keep perspective, conclude in the study, and never give up. Even if they don't obey, don't give up. By the way, this is an important point. When you finish a study, what do you do? Say the study has come to an end. What do you do? How do you end that study? And pray. That's a good way to end a study. Pray with them.
Thank them for their time.
And thank them for their time.
Try to set up
another. Make sure you got the next date and study time already scheduled with them. And then leave Dodge. Right? Don't man, I tell you, if you linger, and be careful about this, if you take your time and you linger, all it's going to do is a lot of times it's going to defeat what you just planted in their minds. Because people will start asking you, what do you think about a 1,000-year reign of Christ on the earth, or premillennialism, or the rapture, or Armageddon, or is our president the Antichrist? All kinds of things that people are going to ask you. Don't do that. Finish your study and leave. And let them dwell on what you've talked to them about. Now that's my value. You don't have to take it. And I'm just saying, don't leave the opportunity for you to just mess up everything you've planted in their mind. Question number one. List some ways in which we've got to be flexible in our study. Setting up a study.
Time, day, and place.
That's right. Topic as well. We need to be flexible. And why is it important to know some things about the prospect's background?
Then you know where to start.
That's right. Listen, are they atheists? Are they agnostic? Are they Catholic? What are they? Know where to start with them. Again, your goal is to convert them to Christianity. That's your goal. It's not to get a pat on the back or to praise them in. It's to convert them. So know something about the background. If they tell you, by the way, that yes, this is my religious background, and you don't know anything about that religious background, what can you do? Study it. Well, there's a box of books back here. Someone was out on the shelf on probably the best material that was put together as far as making a comparison of churches of men with the Church of the Bible. And that was a little white paperback book called Traditions of Men. It's good material. If you don't have that, you need to get it, by the way. But that's good. If they say that they're Seventh-day Adventists, study up on that. That'll help you in your study. and trying to convert them to Christianity. Why is it important to know your material?
Dangerous teaching false doctrine.
Yeah. You don't want to teach them false. Know whatever it is you're using. Mostly know this book, but whatever material, if you're using written material, know it. It'll help with confidence as well. Not confidence in necessarily in man, the confidence in the Word of God. If you have confidence too much in yourself, that leads to being arrogant. People don't like an arrogant Bible teacher or arrogant preacher. Someone who thinks they know it all. Have confidence in what you're teaching them because you know it's the Word of God. Have confidence in the Word of God. Why is it important to stay on track? Stay with the one subject? Have you heard somebody say? What's the purpose of having a home study? That's right. What do you do when the study's over? That's what I do. I study. Now, if somebody, listen, if somebody wants you to visit, they say, hey, can you visit with me for a little while? I've got some things I want to talk to. I'm not saying rush out and tell them you're not going to. I'm just saying be careful about that. If the study's over, the study's over. You'll see them next week, Lord willing. And give them some time to study those things. How long should you be willing to study with an individual? Good job. As long as it takes, as long as they want to, as long as they're willing to let you come study with them. To my recollection, I've never brought a study to an end and said, I'm not going to study with you anymore. If they say, I'll study with them, that's up. You do it as long as you want to. As long as they will. Last one. According to 1 Corinthians 15:58, why should we be steadfast, unmovable? What's the last part of that? Yeah. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's a good study. I hope that these last three lessons have provoked us, encouraged us to be better laborers in the Lord's kingdom. I know it has me. Appreciate your good attention.